Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad.
And this is our Pot of Weed episode. Where we covered a film I have never seen and a film Shad has seen but has not seen in a long time.
Yes.
Soul Survivors from 2001.
Let perpetual light wash over them. May they rest in peace.
Were every soul taken?
Sometimes I feel like he's still here with me. I mean, really here.
There is one left behind.
Hey there. I miss you.
We gotta get out of here, girl.
Because I feel like dancing.
For every new love.
I'll set up for nothing less than friends for life.
Deal.
And one kiss.
Room to room for the first time, Cass. We can do anything. No boundaries.
There is one that won't die.
Cass. I saw him.
I'm worried about you, Cassie.
Sean's not coming back.
Cass.
You think I'm crazy? I am not crazy.
Getting out of here.
I'm not going anywhere.
I like it here.
There's no one out here.
He was here. He was right there. Don't tell
anyone. You're in trouble.
Now, for the first time ever, comes the Soul Survivors King Cut on VHS and DVD, including hot footage never before seen in theaters. Twice the terror. The Soul Survivors DVD, available in collectible holographic packaging.
Wow. So I saw this on Tubi? Tubi or Vudu? I think it was Tubi. Tubi or Vudu, so catch it if it's... It might be on both. It might be just on either or. If you are feeling bored and you want to watch a movie that's very 90s feeling, because even though it did come out in 2001, technically, it's still very much the 90s.
They were still kind of riding on the Scream goodwill.
Yeah, we haven't really, gotten an identity of like what the 2000s are going
to
be.
Yeah, they were still trying to work on the Scream formula of let's get attractive people, throw some money behind it, a little bit of effects, and see if we can make a big hit.
So, Casey Affleck is in this movie. When I saw him hit the screen, I was like, whoa, what is this dude doing in this movie? Later come to find out, this is one of two of the movies that he hates. Like, he does not care for him being in this movie. And some other random movie that he did. I wonder why this was such a gem. It was such an amazing movie. Had such a great time watching it. It's your stereotypical movie, you know, where they're trying to like give the mind fuck because it's very, you know, like Sixth Sense-y in
a sense. It wanted to be Jacob's Ladder. Like someone watched this and was like, you know, I'd like to do a movie like that, but I don't really have an original idea, so I'm just going to steal from Jacob's Ladder.
Well, the writer and the director, Stephen or Steven, depending on how you want to pronounce it, because it's spelled just like Stephen King's, Stephen Carpenter, he actually has done some other stuff. He did some movie called The Power about some Aztec doll. Does that ring a bell at all?
Yes, I believe they covered that on Customers Also Watch. They did one called The Power, and I believe that's the one that they did.
Oh, yeah! I think that is the one they did! Wow! Well, here he went on many years later to go do Soul Survivor. He also was a writer for one of my favorite shows, Grimm. Huh. And he did The Kindred, another horror. So he's a horror guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw The Kindred. That was one of those ones where it started out strong on the first episode and then just kind of fizzled. Yes, hello, kitty.
Tabby has joined the show. Salutations, she says to everybody. You know, we can't have a Halloween episode without like a black cat, right? Even though She's not really a black cat.
But she's got some black on her, so that's all, we're going to count that.
Black, yeah, some black and some orange. She's our little Halloween kitty. He also, also in the film, Melissa Sage Miller, where if you've seen her, you're like, oh, that's a chick from, like, movies, because she's always a side chick, but she's actually front and center because the movie is revolving around her character, Casey. Oh, wait, is that the character's name? We're going to get back to that. I have to confirm that. Eliza Dushku.
Yes.
Yeah, she's playing what? Oh, the bad girl.
Ooh, that's a surprise.
Typecast. Wes Bentley.
Oh, was he playing the creepy guy?
Well, I guess he was a creepy guy because he was, like, still in love with the main character and, like, trying to get her to, like, make out with him one last time to, like, get Casey Affleck's, like, you know, underwear all in a bunch. So, yeah, he's a guy with the plastic bag from American Beauty. And a young Luke Wilson as priest. Okay. Yeah,
this was Luke Wilson in the days of... like when he was on the X-Files and he was like the handsome sheriff that they came to see. Yeah.
There is a killer cut of this film that has things that were deleted from the film because they wanted to make this kid this more teen friendly. So they cut out some gore and some horror-esque elements from the film, which is like, so you're taking away what makes the movie a horror movie.
You're taking away all the great things that people wanted to see.
So now you're deemed a psychological thriller.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it was a mind fuck because I wanted it to be over very fast. I did not enjoy this film. This was like that movie that you put on when it's like raining and you're like, oh, fine, I'll just put this on. Like, who cares? It's raining. You're just going to relax kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know who's glad they did not become part of the movie? He was supposed to be Casey Affleck's character, Sean, and that's James Marsden.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he pass on this to go do the X-Men?
He sure did, to go do Cyclops. That was
probably a good call on his part.
Yeah. So let's say he's actually the true soul survivor.
Oh, shh, burn.
Now to get me confused, I'm sorry, soul survivors. Not to be confused with Soul Survivor, some other movie. I feel like there should be like a law where a movie can't like make... literally the same title as another movie.
Well, that one is like Soul, S-O-L-E, and there's two like Soul Survivor movies, one in the 80s and one was like a TV movie about from Dean Koontz. It was based on one of his novels.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, the other one is S-O-L-E. And this one's like...
Your soul.
Ooh, my soul. Because in the film, let's just paint you a picture right now. The girlfriend... she actually has been having, like, she has, like, this nightmare of, like, someone chasing her, which is the opening of the movie. And, by the way, her name is also Casey. So, there you go. It wasn't one of those, like, I was thinking about Casey Affleck, and then I said Casey, the star of the movie, and her name is Casey.
That's easy to confuse.
She's a freshman, and, you know, she's leaving home. They have a whole montage in the beginning where she's, like, leaving home and hugging the parents, and they're like, I'm so proud of you. She runs back into her room to get her little, you know, the one little thing she's had her whole childhood, which is, like, her, like, little bunny, and she runs out and jumps into Casey Affleck's car, and then they go off into the sunset, and, you know, they start school. And, of course, like in all things... you know, Casey Affleck is going to another school. He's not going there. And they're going to be separating. And, you know, they're going to have one last night where they're going to have, like, fun with their friends, which would be Eliza Dushku and Wes Bentley, who is the ex-boyfriend.
There's a bad combo right there.
Yeah. Why would you go, oh, this guy that I just broke up with, like, 2 seconds ago, I'm going to, like, have my friend double date him, and then I'm gonna go with my current boyfriend, and we're all gonna go and like hang out.
It's kind of the sitcom thing. We're in the sitcoms, everybody that's dated, everybody still hangs around with each other and they all just get along.
Yes.
It's no big deal.
Yes.
Like, oh, hey, everybody's dated this person on the sitcom, but we'll all just hang out and be friends, because that's exactly how it works in real life.
The film is 85 minutes long. Could have been a little less than that. I could have gone with like 65 minutes.
Yeah, I kind of, in a way, felt like this would be a good This would be a good, like, Tales from the Crypt kind of thing if it was, like, a half hour long.
Yeah.
It would have been pretty decent. You could have whittled it down and made a little weird, you know, short out of this. It would have been a lot better, in my opinion.
Now, of course, like in all things, they go to a rave, of course, because, you know.
If it was a 90s or early 2000s movie, they were going to a rave.
Yeah, it was always a rave. I was like, when I was in school at this time frame, I was like, why is everyone going? I've never been invited to a rave. Are raves just happening everywhere around me? Because Freddy versus Jason, there's like a corn maze rave or whatever. There's raves all over the place.
Well, and I love how in the movies, it's always in a really cool location, too. When in actuality, any rave I ever heard about was like, oh, we're at abandoned warehouse number 3 down there in the middle of Stabby Town. Come down there and don't expect your car to be in the same shape it is when you left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blade, that amazing opening with the fucking rave.
Yep.
Like vampire rave.
It's the vampire rave. There's a lot. We should do a whole episode just on horror movie raves.
Yeah. Okay. Look forward to a future episode of horror movie raves. You heard it here first. And they go to the rave. Now, the guy that was chasing Casey in her dream or whatever.
Was it Casey? Didn't we decide it wasn't Casey?
No, yeah, we decided it was Casey. That's the girl's name. Like I said, she was having some dreams, whatever. So she was already off put. And she goes and she goes to the rave, whatever. She sees these dudes. These dudes are like being weird. And they like try to start dancing with her. And I thought they were vampires. I thought this movie, because I knew nothing about this movie called Going In. I knew it was called Soul Survivors. And that's it. And now I see like creepy guy that looks like he could be a vampire. And he, you know, he's like, I want the girl. I want her. And he goes and like Lynchman like goes over and like starts rave dancing with her and trying to like get her to, you know, he like corners her and she's like, fuck off. And I thought literally they were trying to like eat her. But anywho, there's like this whole thing, like I said earlier, like Wes Bentley is in the car with her later on, because of course they have to leave the rave because things are getting creepy. So she's like, I'm out, I have to go. And everyone's trying to get into the car and whatnot, and everyone's leaving. And before that actually happens, she gives Wes Bentley a kiss. Because he asked her, like, this is our last time. We're never going to see each other. If it doesn't matter to you, you know, it doesn't matter to me. We never ended things properly. Let's just give one last kiss. But, of course, like in all things, who's standing outside the car in the fucking rain? Casey Affleck watching all of this shit. And he sees it. She fucking notices that he's watching, whatever. She jumps out the car. So now things are weird. And now we have to drive home in, like, weird, awkward silence. Elijah Dushku has no fucking idea what's going on. Because she's been, you know, doing her crazy ravings inside and being, you know, bad girl number one. So she's in the backseat making out with Wes Bentley. And they're drinking and being retarded. While it's awkward silence time in the front seat between, you know, Casey Affleck and Casey, the Melissa Sage Miller. So, of course, you can't leave the rave and have the creepy guy be after you and not have a car chase. So now there's a car chase. They jumped into the car and they're chasing after the people who they have no idea what's going on. And like I said, it was raining. One thing leads to another and there's a terrible car crash. And that's literally where we leave the movie, because now from this point in the movie, the car crash, to the ending of the movie, you are in this crazy mind fuck of her, you know, she's survived, everyone's fine from the car crash, we're trying to move on with our lives, you know, and Casey actually died. Casey Affleck's character, his name is Sean dies, and you're distraught, and now how are you going to live and move on? You know, and you're dealing with the coping with all of this. And it's just like too much. They try really hard and weird things starts happening and it doesn't make any sense, you know, and there's just characters like giving warnings to her, like, you know, your boyfriend's still with you and you're in trouble and, you know, watch out. And she starts getting weird and she has like her, like, tarot card reading, and it's just a whole bunch of bullshit. Needless to say, I have to just tell you that I wish there were vampires in this movie, because that would have really made the movie. I feel like if maybe the fucking guys were really fucking vampires and they would have made her, and now this whole sequence of her finding out, like, the people are still after her because they have to... I thought they were going to, like, drag her back to, like, some secret society. And, you know, that's why they wanted her so bad, because she had something that they needed and they wanted her to be part of their, like, vampire clan. That I would have preferred that movie, which now that I say that out loud, that sounds really stupid, but it would have been better than this film, which tried really hard. I feel like it did try really hard. It is definitely a movie that's a movie of its time. Like, yeah. You can't come away with it and be like, oh, okay, you know, like, you can watch an 80s movie and like, okay, you know, it's the 80s. They know it's the 80s because obviously they're filming in that time frame. But the movie doesn't just take you out of the movie where you're like, oh God, it's the 80s. Like, it's just so terrible. Like, ugh. This movie, you feel that it's filmed during this time frame. It's not trying to hide, like, everything about it. I think after Scream, everyone just tried so hard to be Scream and have that formula that there's just some movies that were able to make it because they either had a great screenplay, or like a concept at least, and then there just became like a cult classic. And then other films that were just like, okay, like, there weren't a lot of good films that came out during that time frame. The 90s wasn't like a good strong movie time, I don't think. When I think about the movies that I saw in the theater in the 90s, they weren't like, oh my God, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, there were a few here and there, but mostly this one's okay.
Yeah, they just pumped out a lot of crap. Because for a while, there weren't any horror movies. For a while, one here and there, and they were terrible. You know, Scream really bought it all back. Like,
yeah, that kind of resuscitated horror. Except for a while, all you got was Scream imitators.
Yeah, that's...
And some of them were okay. Like, I like Urban Legend. They always talk about it being a Scream imitator, but it came out pretty quick after Scream, so I don't really think it was one of the imitators. I think it was just had the unfortunate luck to come out right after Scream, and then people were like, oh, you're ripping it off. Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that Scream would be... You know, it's so hard to say because then a lot of books got turned into movies. And those books were before Scream. Like, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Like, yeah. That was written before Scream came out. Like, Scream was created. So it's just, like, one of those things, like, picking and choosing or saying, like, okay, this, you know. But formulaic style, like, of course, you're going to have your attractive people, like you said, yeah, in the beginning. And
that was something that they really, like, a lot of people later on really ripped them apart for, like, oh God, they just cast all these attractive people in it. Well, you know, that's kind of a Hollywood thing. That's not like a horror movie thing. Hollywood tends to cast attractive people in movies. There's not a lot of movies where they go out and say, let's find the ugliest people we can find and put front and center in this movie.
No, that's not a thing. I have to say that I give this film 1.5 knives. It was
fine.
I'm like 1.5 knives. It was fine. I'll give it 2 knives because okay. It did try. It tried, you know, you do have likable people in the movie. You're like, oh, Wes Bentley, that's the guy from American Beauty. And like, you're like, okay.
Performance-wise, they're all okay. Like, everybody does a good job with the acting. And the, like, it looks, it's very slick, you know, well-made production. It's just not much... Once you scratch the surface, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, spoiler alert, I'm going to just throw it out there. It was all a dream. She was laying in the in the ER the whole time. Everyone in the car crash died. Eliza Dushku dead. Wes Bentley dead. Casey Affleck didn't die. Spoiler alert. He didn't die. He's alive. And he's been talking to her the whole time, which is why you see, because in the whole, like, part in the movie where she has all these weird shits, weird things occurring. Casey Affleck's ghost, from what she thought was his ghost, is coming around and it's like, hang on here, meet me in this one place. Like, I told you to meet me. Like, you're going to get through this. Like, words of encouragement and shit. And he would just disappear. So he was always there by her, like, you know, trying to get her to, like, come out of her coma.
Yeah.
And she was, like, giving up. Luke Wilson is also dead because he died. And because he's a priest, he's, like, in there, like, in fucking limbo. And he's trying to help her, like, not move on. Like, he's trying to help her, like, tell her, like, go back to, like, your boyfriend's waiting for you. Like, you don't belong here kind of thing. You gotta fight and get out of this. So, you know, it's just, oh, man. What are you going to do?
Like I said, good 30-minute short, maybe, but not a good full-length movie.
No. Like I said, I give it 2 knives. Tabby gives it a meow and a half.
Yeah.
Because she laid with me and watched the film with me. As a first time, watching it for the first time, you know, that was my impression. It was a rainy day. I have nothing else to do with my life. Movie, you know, and it's likable because you like the people. Like, you're a Buffy fan or you're Elijah Dushku fan, you're gonna like, oh, it's her again, like, doing, you know, it's her being Elijah, like, you know, her typecasted character, she's so good in being. But it also has a hint of nostalgia because it is like very late 90s-esque feel to it, and then the music. So it does take you back to a place if you want to revisit that part, you know. I guess you could do the same thing with, like, any other movie we just literally named in there. But you're too attached to those other characters. Like, if I see Scream, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch it. Like, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm not just going to, like, iron some clothes. But this was our Potterween episode. Where we covered Soul Survivors, I have to make sure I get the S in there, 2001, with recognizable faces and not a very good screenplay or plot. Thanks for joining us and stay tuned to the horror, guys.
Hey kids, here comes Peter Pumpkin. For a safe Halloween, do what Peter does. Wear a light-colored costume short enough so you don't trip. If you wear a mask, make sure you can see. Makeup's better. Don't crisscross the street. Call on one side, then the other. Parents, set boundaries and a time to be home. Carry a flashlight for extra safety. And let's all have a safe Halloween.